What's the deal with this?
Deal? What are you saying?
Deal.
Deal?
I don't see what the big deal is, you know? It's not that great.
Good deal. You won't regret it.
What's the deal, son? What do you have going?
All right, look, here's the deal.
What do you say we're making some deal?
Buildings to Cities, the underlying vision of smart buildings is to have urban communities that can maximize building efficiency and living space quality by harvesting property-related data through intelligent systems, smart devices, and sensors, and in a second stage, allowing visionary thinkers to generate untapped data-driven business models. Today in the show, I'm speaking with Tom Sherliff, co-founder and principal at Intelligent Buildings. Intelligent Buildings has been a leader in smart building and vendor risk management, consulting, and managed services. With their managed services focusing on building contractor cybersecurity, policy compliance, and health risk screening.
I'm your host, Ryan Cox, managing partner at Founders Grove Capital, a multifamily value-add investment firm. The Real Estate Innovators is a podcast that explores innovation in commercial real estate. Celebrate the companies and innovators who are changing the business of commercial real estate and are inspiring the future of how we work, live, and play.
I started off by asking Tom about his background and what led him to identify the opportunity with Intelligent Buildings.
My background was a mix of technology with the Bell companies and AT&T, and then oddly enough in real estate development and construction. And with that mix, something really occurred to me along the way in the real estate world was that there was a lot of technology because systems since the mid-80s, like HVAC, elevator, lighting, et cetera, had become digital. But there was really nobody digital or nobody IT in the entire value chain. And that's where I saw this gap between, you know, proper information technology principles and the design, development, and property management process. And what's interesting is my business partner was coming from the other side, not from the real estate side, but from the technology side, and seeing that there was so much more technology could do, information technology. And then when we met, it was the right time and the right combination to try to address that gap.
Tom continued to walk me through the start of Intelligent Buildings. He mentioned how, along with his business partner, they combined technology and real estate experience to digitize the value chain. I asked him how that journey began.
We started 15 years ago, and back then it was really much more focused on experience, almost a cliche. I mean, it was, you know, the experience of the digital signage and Wi-Fi and these kind of things. And then it started to evolve a little bit more into operational efficiency and sustainability. And that's where you could see there was a real desire in the industry, but it was a very fragmented industry. In other words, there was a fairly big disconnect between architecture, engineering, construction, property management, asset management, and there just wasn't a really good flow through there. And also, as I mentioned earlier, in that entire value chain I just described, no IT. So there was lots of opportunity and possibility, but very little coordination and lots of fragmentation.
Hearing about how they were working to bring together what was at the time a very fragmented industry, I asked Tom how they delivered intelligent building services to operators, be it through a managed service, platform, or an application offering.
That's been a little bit of a journey because at first we were just consultants because there was no order, there was really no plan. And so we had a more of a management consulting perspective that eventually over time became more and more tactical and really ultimately led to a managed services environment. So now we go from management consulting through some of the program and project management tactical components and right on through to managed services because, if I can use the cliche, the Internet of Things and big data and all of that has really moved into real estate design, development, and management. And there are so many moving parts that it's very difficult to treat it like a widget. And we've taken that management consulting and it really converted even that a lot of times into use case discussions, allowing the customer to talk just about the experience and the results they want. And then we convert that into the technology requirements and eventually can even manage those outcomes. And more important than the, in some ways, than the performance outcome is the risk. Because we discovered along the way that with all these digital systems, there was really next to no cybersecurity policy, not only for internet access, for example, but even the way the systems were configured, which I can explain. And then also, of course, now the public health is very much a digital smart building issue when it comes to returning safely to the buildings and whatever the new normal is going to be.
Tom and I continue to discuss intelligent buildings service delivery. I asked him what those deliverables look like, if the offering looks like a traditional IT managed service system of aggregated tools and a network operations center.
And the way you described it is something that's going on. That usually happens at a property management or a master systems integrator level at the building, at a more of a property management level. Our managed services have been filling the gaps in a few places. One is managing all of the building contractors' system configurations and remote access. And let me explain briefly. A system configuration means in every system in a building, HVAC, elevator, lighting, metering, parking, you could go on and on. Each one of those has its own separate password, its own, obviously, its own user setups and credentials, whether or not they're backed up, whether or not they have the current software. And all of those configurations, if you can imagine just for a second, we have some large customers, and let's say they average about 100 buildings per portfolio. If you have 10 systems in every building, you've got 1,000 control systems and hundreds of contractors. And so that area of risk is one of the hardest things to deal with in the traditional process. So one of the aspects of our managed services is auditing and keeping policy compliance on all of those contractors. For those very important configurations, as well as in many cases, how they remotely access the building, just simply remote access through the internet, which is now a very important issue in terms of cybersecurity. And then finally, in the managed services, we've developed environmental management in the building, and those are things like water quality, air, and now in the world we're in, even surface testing is beginning to come into the conversation.
Following up on the idea of risk management, I asked Tom if intelligent buildings focuses across all asset classes, or rather, if there is a specific niche that has represented the greatest opportunity because of that portfolio's risk size.
I think you said it really well. The larger the building and the larger the portfolio, of course, the larger the risk is. And so most of our customers have either a combination of large building or campus or a large portfolio. And, you know, in real estate, you know, when you get to the actual buildings, as I alluded to earlier, the rule is fragmentation and turnover. And so, again, large buildings and large portfolios, you've got lots of moving parts, and that's very difficult to manage from a risk perspective.
Tom spoke to the challenges of risk management within their client base, most of whom have either a large building or large portfolio. I asked him how intelligent buildings clients are thinking about managing risk in the current moment as the industry is facing a potential shift in real estate values.
There is a shift. And it has been coming. I mean, we've seen it on the cybersecurity front, where, again, if you go back to our 100 buildings and our 1,000 systems, you got 1,000 networks just in HVAC, elevator, lighting, parking, access control, et cetera. So there are a couple of risks. One, there's a very clear operational risk. I mean, somebody can either hack into it, or you'd be interested to know that we do a whole lot of phishing campaigns for our customers, for contractors, and they open phishing emails at twice the rate of the general public. And then the other risk besides operational risk is cost structure. The more moving parts, the fewer policies, the more proprietary systems you have in place, that slowly has your cost structure creeping up, both your capital cost structure and your operational cost structure. So just operational risk and cost structure are two fundamental things that we're getting at that I think in, you're seeing in a larger portfolio or campus or building is more important.
Tom and I delve further into discussing changes in cybersecurity and the risk management industry. I asked him how he feels the cybersecurity changed and if the proliferation of connected devices and digital applications has increased risk for portfolio managers.
Well, it's increased it significantly, and the building Internet of Things itself, when you think about the systems I mentioned earlier, but also just sensors and analytics and energy management, and it just it keeps piling on. But it's very important to note, people think about the Internet of Things and smart buildings, and wow, that's a risk because of all this connectivity. It's important to note that since the mid-80s, all of those building systems, those basic ones we just mentioned, were made digital, meaning, as simple as it sounds, they run on a computer or a server. They have usually floor-level controllers that are digital, so they have to have some kind of a network. I mean, if you just called up the big HVAC companies or the big lighting control companies and had them ship you one, I'd say proverbially, you'd open up the box and you'd have a computer, you'd have software, you'd have protocols, you'd have networks. I mean, that's a 40-year digital problem. So there are millions of these systems out there in our buildings. Just look out your window in any urban environment, and all of those buildings are packed with digital systems that are connected to DSL lines, that have outdated software, that are running on servers that shouldn't be in there. It is a real industry issue.
Tom had touched on a really important challenge in risk management, the concept of building unified security solutions for disparate building system components. In traditional software updates, it's common for upgrades to occur every 3 years, but that is often not feasible for large portfolio managers. I asked Tom if systems like HVAC are either partially or fully replaced, how intelligent buildings works for those different systems to work with each other without wholesale replacement and upgrades.
Let's start at the beginning. When you're designing and building a building, you should practice the Hippocratic Oath, right? First, do no harm. Don't buy proprietary disparate systems. Create standards in the design process that require open protocols, there'll be a single converged infrastructure and not every contractor pulling wires all over the building. So you can start out the right way. And then also have requirements for how all of those systems are set up for cybersecurity integrity, and how they're accessed remotely. So that's a clean slate. But if you have existing buildings, you can really do something similar, at least in terms of the policy, because it doesn't cost a lot of money to say you must have certain contractor behavior. That's a policy. And then monitor that policy. So, no rogue DSL lines, no 5-year-old software when Johnson Controls or Siemens or Honeywell have updated the software 6 months ago. You have to keep up with it, just like you do on your smartphone. You update the software periodically. Well, the same thing happens in digital building control systems. So for existing buildings, create a policy. It applies to all contractors. And then also you can much more stringently manage the way they access those buildings remotely. So not only can it be done, it really has to be done because in an age of terrorism and pandemics and hacking and ransomware and all of this, digital building controls are a significant risk in terms of safety, public health, operational risk, not to mention brand damage and some of the other soft things.
We continue to discuss the larger topic of technology and cybersecurity and turned our discussion's focus to talent acquisition in the industry. I asked Tom to share an overview of that landscape, our real estate firms are evolving to attract technology and talent.
It is changing, but still very slowly. I would say that there are some REITs that have a particularly progressive CIOs and empowered CIOs that are doing a good job, but that's really the minority. The problem is, and I can tell you that, you know, all the top 3, 4, 5, 6 big IT companies you can think of have tried to get into the smart building space. And part of the answer to your question and the reason they have not been successful at a building level is that there is a decades-old culture in real estate and property and facility management. And that again, we mentioned earlier, has lots of fragmentation. So a CIO, for example, may have authoritative control all the way through the value chain down to the desktop. But in real estate, you've got not only regions and countries and areas, but you've also got joint ventures and properties that are sold and bought and those kind of things. So it's very difficult to manage the technology environment at a building level. So it is something you need to take into account. And it's not because the IT talent wouldn't go to the real estate industry. It's that the real estate industry hasn't set up an IT mindset in its culture.
I asked Tom to speak more about the evolution of an IT mindset within the greater commercial real estate industry. Specifically, we discussed how he advises clients regarding technology adoption and culture change management.
It starts at the top. So whether it's Fortune 500, and we work with a lot of Fortune 500, REIT, government, military, and higher education, it really has to start at the top or at the boardroom, recognizing that there is a true operational risk in the buildings today. So, you know, again, if you've got a good size portfolio, you've got dozens, hundreds, or even thousands of digital systems that are orphan, or there's fragmentation and there's that constant turnover. So once it's identified as a risk, that gets a lot of attention. Look at this cybersecurity industry just by itself. It is a gigantic space. And because of the risk, everything downhill from cybersecurity can be affected. And that's the same thing in real estate. So what we usually do at a boardroom level is communicate that, not in a dramatic way, but just in a factual way. Your buildings can be shut down. They can be taken over. You can have ransomware. Since usually it's not involving personal information, the ransomware that is being paid in real estate is rising significantly. You just don't hear it in the paper because it's not your credit card or your HR records.
Tom shared how he and his team advise leaders on risk management. Continuing that thread of leadership, risk management, and consulting, I discussed with Tom how at the beginning of the year, Steven Schwartzman, CEO of Blackstone, spoke to how climate change is affecting buildings' risk levels. Noting this, I asked Tom how they help clients think through sustainability issues.
I think it is directly related to your technology strategy. And we have never really separated sustainability from operational efficiency and even the business side of the conversation. Because if I dial in a building with technology to, let's just say, simply to reduce my operational cost and maintenance and those kind of things, we know from experience I am directly impacting the environmental characteristics of the building. So they've always been very closely related.
We continue discussing current events and their effects on building technologies, pivoting towards the pandemic and the uncertainty it has brought to the industry. Historically, recessions have brought on rapid technology adoption in real estate. I asked Tom which technologies he expects to be rapidly adopted in the face of the current pandemic-related recession.
There's going to be a lot of technology applied to the problem. The good news is we mentioned a lot of the systems in your building today are already digital. There's lots of analytics and sensors and things that can accentuate that. There are a lot of things relative to pandemic and the new normal that can be leveraged from what's already in your building and your contractors and existing workflow and that kind of thing. There will be some technology added to fill in the gaps. And I think there are certainly some technology and innovation, mostly, again, in something like surface testing. that is not really operationalized and scalable yet. If you think about it, the airport, when you go through and they may randomly pick you to wipe your computer or your hands and put it in the machine and test it, that's the kind of thing that doesn't exist for surface testing at scale yet. But again, the good news is lots of digital systems, environmental monitoring capabilities, digital signage for messaging, things like social distancing. We have lots of density, people density monitors and solutions. So it's really, rather than taking it from a technology perspective, what we're advising is that we take it from a use case perspective. What are we trying to solve for? What are the liability issues? What are the public health issues? And create the use cases and then see what you have in your building to satisfy that and what we need to fill in the gaps. And that's been a pretty comforting conversation for a lot of building owners and managers who are just trying to figure out what to do next.
Tom had described how Intelligent Buildings is consulting with building owners and managers on how to use technology to solve for use case challenges presented by the pandemic. Understanding that many of their clients are managing larger buildings and/or portfolios, I asked Tom how he sees these needed technology adoptions and system changes scaling down to smaller mom-and-pop operators.
I would give the same advice to the mom-and-pops, and that is go stabbing around at technology. Think about what you're trying to solve for, and then find the things that satisfy that. So again, just to pick a few, if it were social distancing, and you'd say, wait, I need something that can tell me when too many people are in one place. And satisfy for that. If it's touchless entry, and both from a external door and ingress, but also an internal doors, then let's go get the technology to solve for that. So I would take a half step back and try to identify the use cases that you're trying to solve for.
Turning our conversation to Intelligent Buildings competitive landscape, I asked Tom if there is co-opetition potential, and if so, what that looks like.
I think there's definitely a co-opetition in a lot of ways. What's interesting is not too many people, I like to say, are smart enough or dumb enough to do only one thing. And we do the real estate related technology management consulting and managed services. And what I mean by that is we don't also do enterprise IT consulting. We don't also do MEP engineering, or we don't also do architecture and these kind of things. And that a lot of the people that say they're in the smart building space like we are, it's a tangent from what they do. But having said that, we work with all those categories of company and really trying to solve the problems for our customers. So we would start, we like to say we go from the boardroom to the boiler room. We start, and along the way, we don't do everything. So we frequently work with those other types of companies to get to the results.
We next revisited the topic of COVID-19 and its impact on intelligent buildings and the larger industry. Tom and I discussed how he's navigating through this time of rapid change, as well as what his expectations are in terms of coming out the other side of this period.
There's a lot of really important conversations about what percentage of people will come back to offices, for example, and what it will be like. And, you know, I don't know that anybody really knows that answer. What we're trying to do is to raise the floor. And that's what we're doing every day. We focus on our current customers, where we're doing smart building consulting on large new developments, and customers where we're focused on contractor and system cybersecurity, and all of that is carrying on as much as it can as normal. But what other than that, what we're doing with great intensity is trying to help landlords and property managers raise that floor. We don't know if it's down 10%, 20%, 30%, but whatever it is, we'd like it to be the floor to be a little higher. And there's a phrase that we say is giving people confidence. And what we want to do is allow, usually the voice of this is going to be property management, allow them to give their occupants confidence to come back to the building and also communicate what their new baseline is and also what the new normal will be. And it's going to be dynamic, but I think a very strong message and action right now is really important. And I also think that there's going to be a parallel here to 9/11 where people said, we may never build tall buildings again. Well, that wasn't true, but we still take off our shoes and our jackets at the airport. So I think people will get back together, will get back in offices, will get back to collaborating, and they'll just be the equivalent of taking off your shoes and your jacket.
Turning our focus further into the future, I asked Tom where he sees the state of building technology in the next 5 to 7 years.
There's a couple of words that are going to sound almost, you know, not that exciting, but integration and interoperability. You said earlier how real estate was behind and has a hard time attracting IT talent. There's still lots of room and lots of powerful outcomes from integration and interoperability. I think that is when the proverbial big data and analytics and AI are really starting to matter in real estate, and that's fantastic. And it all has to be underpinned by vendor risk management, not just cybersecurity, but vendor risk management. Because if you recall, we said we have a 40-year digital situation, not just a smart building problem. So we've got to deal with that cybersecurity and that contractor level risk, because you don't want to build on a house of cards. So I would say integration, interoperability, the big data and analytics are really starting to move into the front of the house, the actual buildings, and then underpinning that with vendor risk management.
Next, I asked Tom if there was anything that we haven't talked about regarding either intelligent buildings or the greater real estate technology landscape that he felt the audience should know.
As simple as it sounds, we like to remind portfolio owners and managers that you don't have a choice about whether or not you have high-tech buildings. That horse is out of the barn. You have high-tech buildings. The question is, are you going to risk manage it and organize around that and leverage it? And historically, that answer has been no. It's just been, you know, overrides and sort of local and siloed management. And I think that there's just an opportunity to recognize you don't have to go get something new to manage your risk and to leverage all the digital power that you even have currently.
Earlier in our conversation, Tom had mentioned both the concept of interoperability and the sprawl of technologies, applications, and vendors that portfolio owners and building managers have to choose from. Noting the wide array of point solution tools that currently exist, I asked Tom what is the opportunity for interoperable platform that would allow these point solutions to work in collaboration with one another.
Everybody wants customer control. You know, the large legacy names, some of the new startups, everybody wants customer control. And with technology moving so quickly, we would tell our customers, you don't standardize on a particular brand. Have your plan, have your concepts of open, converged, cyber secure, and ideally these solutions plug and unplug to that over time. Because with innovation, and I know you know this, there's a lot of leapfrogging. So as soon as you think you found the best analytics, next year there's another better one. And you need to be able to plug and unplug that. And so, again, this is a lot of the IT principles. And so in real estate, it's just been sometimes easier just to buy all the same thing. And I think that era has passed. And we just advocate that the customer has their strategy. And that strategy, in a nutshell, is scalability and flexibility and cybersecurity. And if you have those three things, you can play along with the leapfrog.
For my last question, we shifted our discussion towards Tom's other interest. I asked him if he had the opportunity to take a year off of work to devote to something interesting and unrelated to his current work, what would he do?
This may sound cliche, but I really like volunteering and serving those less fortunate and trying to chip in that way. And it is something that I know is on a lot of people's mind, especially these days. And if I could take time off and do that, just that, that would be pretty satisfying.
Great to speak with Tom Sherliff of Intelligent Buildings today. Founded in 2004, Intelligent Buildings provides smart building and vendor risk management, consulting, remote site solutions, and managed services for commercial, corporate, campus, healthcare, and government real estate organizations. Intelligent Buildings helps their customers enhance experience, increase productivity, lower cost, and reduce operational risk. And that concludes our show. I'm excited to follow Tom and Intelligent Buildings as they deliver technology and security solutions to the larger real estate industry. And find out more about Tom and Intelligent Buildings in the show notes. Please subscribe to The Real Estate Innovators and write a review wherever you subscribe to podcasts, which helps us grow our audience. Find out more about The Real Estate Innovators at therealestateinnovators.com. Until next time, innovators,